Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, February 12th. This is Susan Over. We will start this segment with Word Spreads Quickly as Donation Drive Helps Fire Victims, Bloomington. Word spread quickly on Saturday evening. A fire had destroyed an apartment complex on Bloomington's east side, displacing 7 families, 29 people in all. Among those who wasted no time in trying to help was Tanya Blumenschein, a kindergarten teacher at Adlai Stevenson Elementary School, located several blocks from that fire. Quote, "I learned that I had 2 kids in my class who lived there," she said. "We knew we had to do something to help out," end quote. Through the power of social media, administrators, teachers, and volunteers, an effort was coordinated to start a donation drive at the schools for food, clothing, toys, and other items the families will need. Dinner also was served for the families on Sunday night. By noon yesterday, the elementary school gym at Stevenson was full of donated items. Quote, "You look around and you see all of this already, and it might surprise some people, but I am not surprised at all," said Blumenschein. "People are great. This school is great. When people are in need, they respond." The volunteers were collecting clothes, gift cards for restaurants, pillows, blankets, toiletries, boots, hats, gloves, winter wear, storage totes for families to keep items in, and even monetary donations. "I had a bunch of old clothes I intended to either sell at a garage sale or donate somewhere," said Bloomington resident Kristen Turner. "I feel so sorry for families and wish there was more I could do." The school will be open today, a scheduled school improvement day for the district, to accept more donations, said Stevenson principal Katie Hansen. "It is just awful. This fire did so much damage, and many of these families lost everything," she said. "It is not going to be easy for them. Hopefully, we can make a difference for them." Anyone wishing to donate can bring items to the school at 2106 Arrowhead Drive in Bloomington today between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. "We will take everything and whatever anyone can donate," Blumenschein said, end quote. The fire at 1101 Gettysburg Drive was reported at about 3:20 p.m. Saturday. Officials have not yet announced a cause. One firefighter was injured and treated at a local hospital. The Red Cross was called in to assist the families. The Bloomington Fire Department remained on the scene Sunday, watching over the 12-unit, 2-story building, which was destroyed in that blaze. A damage estimate has also not been released yet. End of article. Road closing, effective immediately and until further notice. North Clinton Street between University and Empire Streets will be closed to all traffic due to sewer repair work in that area. End of article. Tradition, annual Kiwanis Pancake Days set. The Bloomington Kiwanis Club's Pancake Days is all about tradition. How can it not be, having been around since 1951? The club holds the annual event in late February, serving pancakes and sausage to more than 3,000 people. This year's edition is February 24th and 25th, that's Saturday and Sunday, in the lower-level ballroom of the downtown Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Hours are from 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on both days. Pancakes are prepared by Kiwanis members and community organizations, and they serve sausage and coffee, milk, or orange juice. Tickets available at the door are $7 for adults, $3 for children ages 5 to 12, and free for kids under age 5. Advance tickets are $6 for adults. To purchase those tickets in advance, contact any Bloomington Kiwanis member, post on Bloomington Kiwanis Facebook page, or call the district office at 309-585-2216, 585-2216. Pancake Days were expanded more than 10 years ago to include a book fair through the Scholastic Books Organization. Kiwanis Club members volunteer at that book fair to assist shoppers. Hours will be 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on both days. Proceeds from the Pancake Days and the book fair go toward the club's signature project of sending deserving local children to Camp Limberlost, as well as other youth programs such as Action Club, the Boys and Girls Club, W.D. Boyce Boy Scouts of America, the Salvation Army, and the Children's Miracle Network. Each summer since 1930, Bloomington Kiwanis has sent around 100 children, ages 8 to 10, who would benefit from a camping experience to East Bay Camp at Lake Bloomington. Camp Limberlost is supported by fundraisers throughout the year, including Pancakes Days, Mother's Day flower sale, cheese sales, and individual and business corporate donations. The Bloomington Kiwanis Club was formed in 1920. It is part of Kiwanis International, which is celebrating its 100-year anniversary this year. The club meets at noon each Monday at Biagi's Restaurant in Bloomington. More information can be found at bloomingtonkiwanis.org. End of article. One hurt, families homeless after the blaze. A firefighter was injured and up to a dozen people were left homeless after fire ravaged an apartment building Saturday afternoon on Bloomington's east side. The cause of that fire at Gettysburg Drive has not yet been determined. The Bloomington Fire Department was still supervising that scene at 10 p.m. Saturday, but streets surrounding the area were reopened to traffic. Bloomington Police Department asked drivers to avoid the immediate area until the fire department concluded their work. Quote, the cold weather caused us to add resources. We are cycling guys because they're wet and cold. We called in off-duty firefighters to cycle them so the others would have a chance to warm up, said Bloomington Fire spokesman Stuart Blade. The two-story building with 12 units appeared to be a total loss. Firefighters stayed away from part of the building that appeared to be on the verge of collapsing by early evening. The fire was reported about 3:20 p.m. Firefighters from Bloomington and Normal used at least two ladder trucks in fighting that blaze and broke windows on both floors to get at the fire and to vent the smoke. Cold temperatures caused some of the water to freeze on parking lots and sidewalks. Red Cross volunteers provided comfort and care to 29 Bloomington residents displaced by the fire. End of article. Area calendar. Stand Up for Justice Vigil. Stand Up for Social Justice Vigil is from 12:15 to 12:45 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, on the lawn in front of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Garden Registration Outline. Registration dates have been set for the Town of Normal's two organic community gardens. Normal residents may register on March 13th, that is a Tuesday, at 8:30 a.m. Proof of residency will be required. Non-residents may begin to register at 8:30 a.m. on March 15th. Registration will take place at the Normal Parks and Recreation Office located at 100 East Phoenix Avenue. Garden plots are limited to only one per family. Open garden plots will be assigned on a first-come, first-served basis. The community gardens are at Ironwood Park, 1900 North Linden, and also at One Normal Plaza, 1110 Douglas. A variety of plot sizes are available for $25 and $35. Normal residents may renew their plot from last season. The deadline for renewal is March 2nd, and that is a Thursday. End of article. Mayor's Manor surpasses fund goal for fire repairs. Bloomington. Mayor's Manor, which offers supportive housing for formerly homeless people with disabilities, surpassed a fundraising goal to pay for cleanup and restoration following an accidental fire last spring. Mid-Central Community Action, MCCA, which operates Mayor's Manor at 504 West Washington Street in Bloomington, set a $30,000 fundraising goal last fall to reimburse the agency for expenses following that fire. Matt Dratt, MCCA Director of Resource Development and Community Engagement, reported last Friday the community donated $39,150. Because restoration expenses rose since the fundraising campaign began, Dratt said the final donation and cost figures are almost exactly the same. Quote, it's very exciting, Dratt said. It's a great reminder of what a generous community we live in. Jen Woodrum, Housing and Benefits Specialist for PATH Homeless Services, was thrilled that MCCA surpassed the fundraising goal. We know how much Mayor's Manor helps the community, Woodrum says. Since that restoration work was completed, several of Woodrum's formerly homeless clients have moved into Mayor's Manor, she said. It helps to have people live a better life, end quote, Woodrum said. Mayor's Manor provides supportive housing for 26 formerly homeless people with diagnoses which include schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and alcoholism. Money comes from several sources, including the residents, MCCA, the federal and state government, and community donations. But MCCA can no longer afford to subsidize Mayor's Manor to the tune of $85,000 each year and continues to investigate several possible long-term solutions, Dratt said. Meanwhile, the fire happened, meaning 16 residents had to find temporary housing elsewhere, while 10 residents were able to stay. Since restoration work was complete late last year, Mayor's Manor has been welcoming back residents and welcoming some new residents. Quote, we are back to 100% occupancy, end quote, Tratt said. Besides raising money, the fundraising campaign has raised awareness of Mayor Manor's role in assisting formerly homeless people with mental illness, Tratt said. People have a greater understanding of Mayor's Manor as an asset in the community, Dratt said. End of article. Ice Center to celebrate Olympics. Bloomington. Pepsi Ice Center will host an Olympic celebration offering skating exhibitions, games, giveaways, and a free Learn to Skate class from 12:40 to 3:20 p.m. on February 24th, which is a Saturday. In celebration of National Skating Month. Admission is $6 for each person, $2 for skate rental. You may contact Lindsay Danner at 309-434-2877, 434-2877, or online ldanner@cityblm.org for reservations for a free skating lesson. The Pepsi Ice Center offers figure skating classes for beginners through advanced all year round. More information is available, at pepsicenter.com. End of article. Road closing, IAA Drive in Bloomington. 1. IAA Drive between Kurt and Rao Drives will be closed to through traffic beginning at 6 a.m. this Wednesday for waterline work. Drivers should use other routes. The date was changed because of forecasted weather. End of article. Council to vote on waste service. Bloomington. A vote on how to pay for the city's solid waste services tops a list of budget-related issues the Bloomington Council will consider at tonight's special meeting. Quote, we would like some guidance on the big issues so we can begin to present a draft balance budget on February 26th, said Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen. That's what our calendar calls for, end quote. The special meeting at 5 p.m. today will be followed by the Council's regular session at 7 p.m. That will deal with creating a tax increment financing district to help fund redeveloping the former Bloomington High School at 510 East Washington Street and other properties near downtown. Aldermen are expected to schedule an April 9th hearing on creating a TIF district, which sets aside increases in property taxes in a given area for economic development there. Public Works Director Jim Karch said he will ask the council at that special meeting to consider choosing one of three proposals for the solid waste program. One would direct city staff to investigate and bid outsourcing the solid waste program, which currently includes garbage, bulky waste, brush, and leaf collection at curbside. The second one would propose increasing monthly residential trash cart fees, which range from $16 to $25 now, by $2 to $4. Solid waste collection costs the city about $7.4 million each year, but the fees collected from property owners leave an annual gap of about $1.1 million. The third option would reduce the frequency of bulk and brush collections while maintaining current service levels for garbage, recycling, and leaves, and consolidate garbage and recycling pickup into two shifts. Rasmussen also will ask the council at the special meeting for direction on three new revenue-sharing options: charging for parking in the public garages and lots during special events downtown, increasing various fees for city services, and developing a business registration program with fees. The fiscal 2019 budget, which will take effect May 1, 2018, calls for about $214 million in spending overall, including an expected deficit of $2.9 million. There also is a long list of unfunded capital projects. The council also will consider at the special meeting spending $20,000 to hire GovHR USA LLC to recruit candidates for city manager. Rasmussen, then assistant city manager, was named interim city manager on November 8th to replace David Hales and has said he would be a candidate for the permanent appointment. In the regular session, the council also is expected to vote on budgeting $490,000 for its share of a project with McLean County to expand the intersection of Towanda Barnes and Ireland Grove Roads. A welcoming city ordinance discussion and vote was canceled, so that issue is not on the agenda for either of the meetings. End of article. Flick fact: when Abe Lincoln was postmaster of New Salem in the 1830s, what was his salary? Answer: Abraham Lincoln made about 2 cents an hour, or 96 cents each week, in the 1830s. By 1860, as President of the U.S., his salary rocketed all the way up to $25,000 a year. This is, by the way, the great emancipator's 209th birthday. ISU to honor Black heritage. Illinois State University will celebrate Black Heritage Weekend with a ball and a traveling museum displaying artifacts from Black history. Both events are free and open to the public. The True Black History Museum will be on display from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on February 24th, a Saturday, in the Escalante Room of Hewitt Manchester Residence Halls. That exhibit is hosted by the University Program Board. The Black Heritage Ball is set for 7 p.m. on Sunday, February 25th, in the Brown Ballroom of Bones Student Center. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. The keynote speaker will be Tehumola Olugbani, a folklorist and oral historian. The Black Colleagues Association will present a scholarship to two students, and the Black Student Union will name Mr. and Mrs. Black Student Union. End of article. On duty, U.S. Air Force Madeline Phyllis. U.S. Air Force Airman First Class Madeline R. Phyllis graduated from basic military training at Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland, San Antonio, Texas. A 2016 graduate of Lincoln Community High School, Lincoln, she is the daughter of Brenda Donosky of Lincoln and David J. Phyllis, P-H-I-L-L-I-S, of Bloomington, and stepdaughter of Joseph Donosky of Lincoln. End of article. ISU series includes CEO and Nobel winner. The Spring 2018 University Speaker Series at Illinois State University will include a Nobel Peace Prize winner, a celebrated chef, a CEO of a national insurance company, and a disruptor in the cause of race and education. All talks are free and open to the public. The keynote speaker for 2018 Business Week is Illinois State alumna Tricia Griffith, Chief CEO Officer and President of Progressive Insurance. She will speak at 3:30 p.m. on February 22nd, which is a Thursday, at the Center for Performing Arts on the ISU campus in Normal. To celebrate Black History Month, Adrienne Dixon, University of Illinois Professor of Critical Race Theory and Education, will speak on Are We There Yet? Race, Protest, and the Challenge of Multicultural Education. That will be at 7 p.m. on February 28th, which is a Wednesday, in the Prairie Room of Bone Student Center. Sinclair Bell, classical archaeologist and art historian, will speak on race and representation in the Roman Empire, African athletes as case study, at noon on March 29th, which is a Thursday, at Brown Ballroom, Bone Student Center. I'm sorry, that jumped ahead. That will be at University Galleries, 11 Uptown Circle in Normal on March 29th. Niall DeMarco, Deaf Community Ambassador and Dancing with the Stars winner, will give a talk titled Living Out Loud with Niall DeMarco for Illinois State University's Student Access and Accommodation Services. That will be held at 6 p.m. on March 29th, but this one is at the Brown Ballroom in Bone Student Center. Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize Laureate 2006, will speak on a world of three zeros, zero poverty, zero unemployment, and zero net carbon emission at 7 p.m. on April 14th, which is a Saturday, at Brown Ballroom, Bone Student Center. Roy Choi, chef, restaurateur, and author, is the keynote speaker for Science and Technology Week. His talk, Riding Shotgun with an LA Chef, An Evening with Roy Choi, will be held at 7 p.m. on April 17th, and that is a Tuesday, in the Prairie Room, Bone Student Center. And Brittany Cooper, writer, teacher, and public speaker, will speak on Eloquent Rage, A Black Feminist Discovers Her Superpowers, at 1 p.m. on April 20th, that is a Friday, in the Prairie Room of Bone Student Center. She is the keynote speaker at the 23rd Annual Women's and Gender Studies Symposium. And last, Lynn Hunt, historian and author, will speak on Inventing Human Rights at 7 p.m. on April 26th, which is a Thursday, in the Prairie Room of Bone Student Center. End of article. City Eyes Plans for Old Bloomington High School Building. Creating a tax increment financing district to help with redevelopment of the former Bloomington High School and several other properties near downtown could move forward if the City Council agrees to set a hearing. It is great to have strong, quote, developer interest already in this newly proposed TIF district with the proposed redevelopment of our former high school, said Bloomington Economic Development Coordinator Austin Grammer. City staff is hopeful to attract further development interest to the vacant and underdeveloped properties in this area. End of quote. At its regular meeting tonight at 7 p.m. at City Hall, the council is slated to vote on setting an April 9th hearing, which is the next step required in the TIF district creation process. In 2016, Iceberg Development Group, LLC of LeClaire, Iowa, purchased the 100-year-old former Bloomington High School building at 510 East Washington Street for $400,000. Iceberg wants to convert the second and third floors into 58 apartments for people 55 and older, and then lease space to commercial and nonprofit users on the first floor. The city is supporting Iceberg's project via a TIF redevelopment agreement, which the council adopted in June. At that time, the council also authorized, at a cost of $34,000, St. Louis-based consultant Peckham, Guyton, Albers, and Vietz to conduct a feasibility study and draft a redevelopment plan for the proposed 23-year downtown East Washington Street TIF district. Both are required under state law for establishing a TIF district. Total investment by Iceberg is projected at $17 million. The city's TIF assistance would be capped at $1.3 million, or 11.8% of the total project, whichever is less, said Grammer. In a TIF district, the increase in property tax revenue generated by improvements in the district is diverted from the taxing bodies into a fund earmarked for economic development within the district. In this case, the city would rebate 80% of property tax increment generated by the developer's improvement. but the amount would not exceed the $1.3 million limit, said Grammer. City staff is recommending several properties west of the former high school be added to the proposed TIF district, including the vacant former Chase Bank building, a parking lot owned by State Farm, and another owned by PNC Bank, which State Farm leases, and the city-owned former Coachman Motel site, said Grammer. Quote, certainly, vacant lots and parking lots are not the highest and best use of this corridor and gateway entry to our downtown, said Grammer, end quote. The proposed redevelopment area is bounded by an alley between East Monroe and East Jefferson Streets on the north, North Gridley Street on the west, East Front Street on the south, and North Evans Street on the east. Since June, the city has been approached by Springfield-based Laborers Home Development Corp., which is proposing to build the David Penn Apartments, a three-story complex offering 50 affordable apartments on three lots in the 400 block of East Washington, which includes the vacant Coachman site. The PGAV study determined the area qualifies for TIF designation because four blighting factors exist and there is a need to conserve properties. Those factors include five of the buildings are older than 35 years, deterioration, obsolescence, and excessive vacancies. Quote, these parcels will likely continue to exhibit blighted conditions without a program of intervention to induce private and public investment in the project area, end quote, the consultant stated in its report. End of article. Flick, too much stuff, too little time. I am, of course, an old guy, so old, in fact, I remember when there were only a half dozen channels on the entire TV. Three major networks, a PBS affiliate, an independent station or two, and that one that showed a thermometer and barometer next to an outdoor window. TV's idea in the 60s and 70s of round-the-clock instant weather. That was back when, at midnight every night, as a sign-off of that day's programming, all stations showed a video of a waving U.S. flag and they played the Star Spangled Banner. And long before Colin Kaepernick, you never stood for the anthem unless it also was to get up and turn off the TV and go to bed. But TV now, mercy. This issue has come up quite a bit lately inside the Flick home as one of the 2,500 channels, okay, maybe a slight exaggeration, on all the round-the-clock 25-hours-a-day networks, okay, maybe a slight exaggeration, were the Golden Globe Awards, followed by a couple weeks later of the Screen Actor Guild Awards, and then the other night, the Grammys. Throughout these broadcasts were questions at the Flick home like, have we ever seen that actor? Have you heard that singer? Have we ever seen that show? Do we have that channel? What exactly is Hulu? The answers, as I recall, were no, 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 I don't know, and I think maybe the capital of Hawaii. Yes, I love these times because we have so many more options in TV and music, but I also get frustrated. For the exact same reason. It is not just TV and music either. For example, there's a shampoo section at the store. It's now an entire aisle. It needs its own zip code. There are at least 25 different kinds of deodorants too. Soap. There used to be Ivory, Dove, and Lava with pumice. Then came Irish Spring. Then came a World Avalanche. Coffee. Once a simple morning beverage with five brands on your shelf, these days there are thousands of stores that sell just coffee. In Bloomington Normal, as an example, there are eight Starbucks stores. Eight! Here's my vote for today. We don't need bigger stores. We need less product. Beer. We've always had choices. But now there's an entire phalanx of the store with different beers, craft beers and micro beers too. 10 years ago when Distill opened locally, I thought, craft beer? What a novel idea. Now there are so many craft beers alone. Binnie's may just buy the entire mall and make it a craft beer store. Netflix, after all the accolades, praise, and promotion at the Flick home, we talk about subscribing, but still we don't. You'd say it's not Flix. Any day now, it'll no doubt be another of our options, which we seem too busy to fully enjoy. Okay, that might be a slight exaggeration, but you get the point. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, February 12th. At this time, we will take a short break.